And Smashville, good morning, and thank you for joining us. It is Morning Drive on a Thursday here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are broadcasting live from St. Thomas Sports Park at Titans Camp, day two of joint practices between the Titans and the Bucks. Nick Hale, Braden Gall, Derek Mason with the morning off. He's sick. And Chase McCabe. We got a lot to get to this morning, a lot of football. Also some baseball with the Ronald Acuna story from last night. But before we get into all of that, I have a theory. I have a theory because every time we're at Titans camp and Derek Mason is here doing the show with us, Corey Davis is a non-participant. And then when Derek Mason leaves yesterday early during the show because he's sick and he's out again this morning with the stomach flu, you know, Corey Davis was out yesterday. I would think Corey Davis is going to be out here again today. I'm wondering if Corey Davis and Derek Mason are the same guy. Have you ever seen them in the same place at the same time?
Technically, yes, but it was fleeting.
Okay.
It was fleeting. It was for about 9 minutes of Corey Davis stretching, and then he disappeared.
Gotcha.
And then D-Mace all of a sudden showed up. I will say this, though. You guys pick on me when I'm not around. Hurts my feelings, all right? Makes me feel bad about myself.
We pick on you to your face, too, though.
That is true. So at least you're consistent, which I appreciate, and authentic, which I also appreciate. Here's the deal. Well, you can't rip on a guy for a maintenance day when you are taking maintenance days.
Very true.
I'm just saying.
Very true.
You know?
Corey, this is different.
Let's be very clear. D-Mace's job is far less physically demanding.
But he's sick.
Than Corey Davis.
He's actually sick. We know for a fact that he is sick. That's not a maintenance day.
Well, Corey Davis didn't practice. He was actually hurt or something. We don't know what it was.
We don't know because Vrabel won't tell us.
How many people have you worked with in your life, though, when they call in sick, you're like, that dude ain't sick? You know what I mean? Like, how many people you know the guy?
I'm a pretty trustworthy individual, so, you know, I'm probably the wrong person to ask.
That's fair. You are. And listen. D-Mace, if he's not here, he's not feeling well. So I'm not calling D-Mace out on this. But we all know that guy. There's a guy or a girl in every office where when they don't show up, everyone in the office rolls their eyes and goes, oh, another sick day?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're either faking it or they're soft or they're hungover or whatever. And they're like, oh, really, another sick day?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's got one of those in their office. I'm not suggesting that D-Mace is that guy. I don't think he is. I don't know if we've got one of those guys on this team. We all play through pain. But I think, he needed a maintenance day today. So, going to have to take it easy on old CD84 when he needs a maintenance day.
That's true.
That's all I'm saying.
Very true. We can't have receiver on receiver crime.
Yeah, that's bad. Bad for business.
All right, so yesterday, Titans and the Bucks, day one of
receiver on DB crime.
Yeah, yes, very true. A couple of observations from yesterday. Some of them good, some of them bad. One, I thought Corey Davis was sensational. He was going out making plays, and, you know, maybe we're overstating it because he's the fifth overall pick, and he's been out of practice with, you know, these little nagging injuries, but he had a very good day. The other thing that I noticed was Malcolm Butler, who's had a really good camp going up against this receiving core, and granted, this receiving core is not nearly as good as Mike Evans or DeSean Jackson, but he got beat a couple of times yesterday. You can see some of the videos and the vines on Twitter. I mean, DeSean Jackson just blew right by him.
Yeah.
So that was one of the negatives of yesterday.
Yeah, and DeSean Jackson tends to do that when he's in one-on-one drills and running a straight go route. I mean, I believe that's what happened is he just kind of ran a quick fade go route, and he just beat Malcolm Butler. And DeSean Jackson's pretty fast. I mean, he's faster than most people. So what I struggle with on this is, like, if we're not going to get too high and too worked up over Corey Davis having good practices, then we can't get too high and too worked up on Malcolm Butler having a bad one.
Yep.
Now, I don't like that it's packaged with the fact that Devontae Adams torched him down the sideline with Brett Hundley at quarterback in a preseason game. I mean, are you going through the motions? Are you working on stuff? I get all that. It's the first preseason game. But you do have to acknowledge that. And D-Mace has been on top of this since the beginning. Malcolm Butler's weakness may be his one man-on-man coverage down the field in deep pass routes. D-Mace has been on that since the day they signed him. I'm of the belief, and I don't know where you fall on him, I don't think Malcolm Butler is worth the money. I don't think he's an elite number one. But I think he's a significant upgrade over what they had previously. So, and it now gives them one of the deepest secondaries. So I like that Malcolm Butler is on the team. I don't think we need to be, you know, overly concerned about Malcolm Butler and the secondary. Does it mean that he should always be guarding the number one? Probably not. Does it mean that defenses might try to attack him down the field? Probably so. But you fight that. You work. You have Kevin Byer to give him some safety help, or you put a Dory Jackson on a number one, or you know, you put three corners on the field. Like, there's ways to sort of manipulate that. I will say this though about it wasn't just Corey Davis. Taywan Taylor's had a great camp, and we talk about Darius Jennings and Nick Williams and Michael Campanaro because we're trying to figure out who's going to be at the bottom of the roster. Rishard Matthews still on the pup list. The only thing that has been sort of consistent throughout camp the entire time, ironically, Taywan Taylor. He's been the guy that's actually been here, showed up, and played well. And again, yesterday, another good camp for him as well. Now, again, we have to sort of just say, listen, they're one-on-ones. They're one-on-ones. When all of a sudden, because I love what they asked of Marcus in the press conference. Somebody asked him about, hey, were you trying to get Corey Davis the ball more today? And he said, listen, I'm just going to go through the reads. I'm going to read the defense and take what the defense gives me. And I think that's it's a politically correct answer, and it's a smart answer from a quarterback, but B, that's what I want out of him, right? Like, I want him to go through the reads every single time, and if it happens to be Corey Davis who gets open, great, even better. So I don't know. You guys know me. I have been maybe more bullish on this receiving core than you guys have been since the beginning. If nothing else, maybe more like wait and see. I think Titans fans have a right to have this glimmer, just a glimmer, not outright optimism, not hope, not belief, but just a glimmer of, well, maybe these first-year players do have a lot of talent, and maybe they are developing, and maybe this new system is exactly what this team needs. You know, Pat O'Hara talked about it. We've talked to a lot of guys about it. Just a short, intermediate. Buck was talking about it yesterday. Short, intermediate, rhythmic passing game. That's where Marcus thrives. Could these guys be good for that? And maybe we're starting to see them come around. Maybe it's just one practice.
Well, it's funny you say rhythm, because Mike Vrabel said yesterday about Corey Davis, the timing with Mariota is improving, said he really showed up and did some nice things today. Teron Davenport, who's going to join us later today on the show, obviously the Titans reporter for ESPN, pointed out yesterday that Corey Davis was in the slot, ran a skinny post, caught a perfectly placed pass from Marcus. He says the 8-84 timing is crucial for the offense, which we all would agree,
right,
and says it's coming along smoothly. And I think that's pretty noticeable, or a notable thing, considering he hasn't been a consistent participant in practice.
Well, this is the thing we've talked about. Like, we all agree that they need reps. Like, no one says, like, nah, they don't need reps. Like, we all agree that they need reps. We all agree that reps is good.
Yeah.
We all agree reps are good for the offense and for Marcus and all this stuff, but we still just don't really know what's going to happen when he gets on the field. Like, we still just don't know, and we have to see it. And so that's kind of why I'm like, all right, it's positive that he's having good practices. It's positive that he's making plays, but it doesn't mean he's going to be a star on Sundays in the regular season. Just because he doesn't play in a preseason game doesn't mean he's going to be a bust in the regular season. We just have to wait to see till we get there. But it is a positive sign, and Titans fans have, again, I think a glimmer of hope there. One of the other ones that I saw, and this was all over social media yesterday, is Derrick Henry working on blocking drills. And I think one of the most undercovered things, and it's our fault, that could change the dynamic of this team and make Derrick Henry a significant performer and more, give him more snaps, is this man is a monstrosity. And he should be one of the best blocking running backs in the NFL. There is no reason for him not to be. And there was a couple of images and videos of him popping Riley Bulla on a blitz pickup. They were doing blitz pickup drills, and the Bucs coaches were all upset about it. And at first, Buck tweeted out a picture, and I was like, Derrick Henry's like this giant transformer, and Riley Bulla is like this little miniature human. And I'm going, well, it looks like Derrick Henry's the best player there, but Riley Bulla has better position, has got his hands in the right place, he's got leverage on him. But then when you watch the video, Derrick Henry smokes him, but he doesn't finish the block.
Right.
He hits him, his feet stop a little bit, but man, does he pop him. But if he finishes the block, locks him up, and drives with his legs, Riley Bulla's going into the ground 3 feet. So I think if Derrick Henry can show that he is a really good blitz pickup guy, which to me is about effort, I think that's about practicing your technique and effort and then reading where the mic is and reading where the blitz is coming from, which is tricky. If he becomes good at that, which has been a liability so far in his career, that will give Derrick Henry more time on the field. If you want to see Derrick Henry on the field more, you got to be like, dude, you got to learn how to pick up the blitz.
It's a good point because a lot of times people will say, and fans will be like, well, why isn't so-and-so getting more snaps? It's not just about how you run the ball, and it's not just how you can catch the ball out of the backfield. If you're a liability protecting your quarterback, they're not going to put you out there.
Well, and what do we say with defenses with Derrick Henry? Well, everybody knows what's going to happen when he's on the field.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if he's a great – if he can pick up the blitz really well, it opens up your playbook when he's on the field, and that makes defenses' jobs much harder. So what I saw from him yesterday was better. It was better than what I've seen in the first 2 years because he was atrocious the first 2 years of picking up the blitz, and there's no reason for a guy his size and strength to be bad at that and athleticism. And I saw yesterday it was a little bit better, but not there yet. But, man, if he's good at that,
yep,
he could he's going to get himself more playing time. And there's no reason for him not to be good because I think it's about effort, technique, and want to. And he should have all of that because now he's got a chance to be a starting running back.
All right, coming up next, we're going to tell you how you can win a pair of tickets to see Jay-Z and Beyonce at Vanderbilt Stadium.
Early free stuff.
Coming up on Thursday. So stay there. It is Morning Drive. Nick Kale, Braden Gall, D-Mace with the morning off. He's sick. Chase McCabe, we are broadcasting live from St. Thomas Sports Park at Titans Camp. Day two of the joint practices between the Titans and the Bucks, right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game and streaming on the Game Nashville app. Welcome back into Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Nick Kale, Braden Gall, Chase McCabe with you. D-Mace got the morning off. He's a little under the weather. We're broadcasting live from Titans Camp, St. Thomas Sports Park, Day 2. The joint practices between the Titans and the Bucks. Jayon Brown, Titans linebacker, going to join us tentatively at 7:45. So looking forward to that. All right, so here's how you can win a pair of tickets to Jay-Z and Beyonce.
What?
At Vanderbilt Stadium.
Sweet.
Yes, it'll be Thursday, August 23rd. So Chase McCabe just tweeted out at our Morning Drive Twitter account, at 1025_MD, a picture of the two of us yesterday interviewing Titans quarterback coach Pat O'Hara.
We are in love with Pat O'Hara.
Pat O'Hara was very good. That being said, we look completely disinterested. We must have been just, like, listening
to
him.
You think that's disinterest?
I think we're just
I see intensity.
Okay. That's fine.
I see,
you
like...
You got your game face on?
Yeah, like, I see, like I look at myself there, and I'm like, man, I look like I'm mean mugging because I'm so interested in what he's saying.
But, see, I look at it as from the standpoint of we look less interested than Jay Cutler in being a millionaire quarterback.
I showed my wife that picture because I was like, Nick Kale changes his Twitter profile picture more than any human being I know.
I do.
So I showed my wife that picture, and she goes, man, you're listening really intently. That's normally not what you do. And so I'm surprised that you take it that way, that photo. It looks like I'm like burning holes into Pat O'Hara's retinas.
I thought he was really good yesterday. By the way, you can hear the interview at thegamenational.com.
I love talking. I just love nerding out when it comes to talking to football coaches and football guys, especially guys down the head coach has such a big personality generally at every college pro, whatever. When you get a chance to like talk to the quarterbacks coaches and the defensive coordinators and like those are the guys that'll really get into the game with you a little bit, and I find that to be really fascinating. So check out the interview. I thought he was great yesterday.
So give us a tweet at 1025_MD, caption it, be creative. Chase McCabe will pick out a pair of winners. We'll give away two pairs today for Jay-Z and Beyonce at Vanderbilt Stadium.
The Beyonce.
On Thursday, August 23rd, and maybe just by August 23rd, Vanderbilt will have an upgraded stadium for Jay-Z and Beyonce.
Oh man,
maybe
funny.
Not for football, but
that's
for a concert.
That's good.
You know,
that's good. I mean, come on, Vandy.
All right,
step up your game.
And let me say this about our little caption contest: be fun, be creative, but be nice. Like I'm mad at you today, Twitter.
We're going to get to you in a little bit because you're fired up.
How about this, Chase? They don't have to be nice to us, though.
Yeah. Well, okay. There's a difference in like you know I'm not nice to you every day, but it's in a fun, you know, creative way. I'm not like coming after you or your family, so. Like,
well, I don't think – how about this? If you are insulting Nick or my children, you're not going to win.
That's the only thing off limits.
You're not going to win. If you're insulting our wives, you're not going to win. If you are insulting us and it's funny, you got a chance to win.
Very
is that fair?
True. Yeah. All right, I'm going to bring both of you guys. I want to get your thoughts. I've got three – I don't know if you want to call them hypotheticals or statements from Titans camp yesterday, and they're probably overreactions. And I'm not saying I completely believe what I'm saying. I just want to gauge where you are at with these comments. So, Chase, Braden, give me your thoughts on this. So, Malcolm Butler got beat by DeSean Jackson and Mike Evans yesterday. When 2018 comes to a close, do you believe this statement? We will be saying that Malcolm Butler is the highest paid corner on the Titans, yet he's the third best corner on the Titans. Meaning Adoree Jackson, Logan Ryan will have better seasons than Malcolm Butler.
Ooh, okay, so those are two different questions.
Okay.
One is who's the better corner and which one has the better season. I think Malcolm Butler is the better corner than Logan Ryan. I think Logan Ryan's the better player and is more important, but they play slightly different positions. One's more of a slot guy. Logan Ryan could be used in a safety role if they need to go nickel and they want to keep a third corner on the field, but there's not maybe a slot receiver. I can't remember an NFL formation without a slot receiver. So I think Malcolm Butler is the second best true cover corner. Like on the outside, I'd rather have Malcolm Butler on somebody than Logan Ryan. But if you're asking me which player I'd rather have Logan Ryan.
Chase McCabe?
I think that statement's probably false. I mean, I think Malcolm Butler, we can't really gauge anything off of training camp, whether it's a good or a bad thing. I need to see him in actual games. So right now, I mean, I think he's a better corner than Logan Ryan. But I do like what Braden just said about that with the different roles that Logan Ryan can play. I think that's a little more versatile than Malcolm Butler. But no, I don't agree with your statement.
And I would say I think Logan Ryan's a more important vocal leader of the defense than Adoree Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Adoree Jackson is the best pure cover corner on the team.
Yep.
So I almost didn't even mention him because I already think he – I think we all agree, and I think D-Mace, I'll speak for him. Adoree Jackson's the best pure cover corner on the team.
Okay, number two, Corey Davis and Marcus Mariota looked really in sync yesterday. They've strung together a couple of good practices. So here's the statement. By the time we reach the midway point of the season, people around the league will be saying that Marcus and Corey are one of the up-and-coming quarterback-receiver combos in the NFL.
Ooh.
That's a good one.
That's a big leap there. And you know that I'm pro Corey Davis. I'm on team Corey Davis. I'm not on Corey Davis Island. But I've pushed off the dock a little bit. Like I've pushed off the dock and I'm on Sam Darnold Island, Deshaun Watson Island. Like I'm on, you know, there's guys that I've been all in on since the beginning. And Marcus is one of them. Ever since his redshirt freshman year at Oregon, I was all in on Marcus. I am pro Corey Davis. I'm in like the dinghy, you know. I'm pushed off from the dock. I'm maybe en route to Corey Davis Island. Yeah, you know, like a dinghy, like yeah. Chris Farley and Tommy Boy, where he gets stuck in out there in his dinghy. I'm in the boat. I'm maybe untethering from the dock, but I'm not yet on Corey Davis Island.
Okay, Chase.
So I think they'll be good. I'm going 50-50 on that one.
I'm going to say no. There's just not enough proof that tells me that's going to happen. One good week of practice by Corey Davis where he's actually practicing is not enough for me to say that they're going to be an up-and-coming tandem by the midseason.
Okay. And Chase's approach on both of these, Chase, I think is smart where you say, listen, camp hasn't really changed or altered my opinion of what I already thought about these guys. I think D-Mace, myself, included, we already thought Malcolm Butler was the second best corner on the team. The camp hasn't changed that positively or negatively. I'm already sort of more pro Corey Davis than most Titans fans or Nashvillians. So a good couple of days of practice hasn't changed that for me. I think he's a talented player that's going to be a solid contributor for this offense. But that's sort of what I thought going into camp and what I thought when they drafted him and what I think today.
How much can you actually learn from training camp? I mean, you guys have covered this game for a long time. I mean, they're not going to show everything. You're going to have guys that have a good day, you know, here and there. Are you going to have guys that are the camp MVP? You're going to have the rookie that everybody falls in love with. But how much do you actually learn from training camp?
So, I think you learn what the coaches think of their roster. I mean, when somebody gets hurt and Harold Landry's in there getting reps, and that means they know he's sort of next guy up, I think that we can learn that Taywan Taylor has clearly mentally grown up in the game. I think Taywan Taylor clearly understands the pro game a lot better than he did at this time last year. So that doesn't mean he's going to be great. So to your point, what are we learning? Maybe nothing. But if you're asking me what do I learn about camp, I think Taywan Taylor has shown me that he has clearly progressed from year camp one as a rookie to camp two as a second-year player. That I think the secondary is pretty good, that we're confirming sort of our beliefs about the secondary. And then you learn about where the coaches think about certain players, right? Like they're giving XYZ player a lot of reps here or a lot of reps there. You know, we're sort of learning about that. And they think pretty highly of Darius Jennings, for example. They think pretty highly of The Finch kid coming off the edge, they think pretty highly of some of those players. So Pamphiel on the offensive line. So you can kind of see what a coach thinks. But, like, to your point, Chase, you're not going to ever go, well, I think the Titans are going to go 11-5 because we learned that Harold Landry is pretty good at getting to the quarterback. Like, yeah, you can't do that.
All right, third hypothetical statement from yesterday. I was talking with Rex Rode during practice, and it was me, Joe Rex Rode, Floyd Reese, and Teresa Walker. And he asked all of us, of the 32 teams back at the 2015 draft, he goes, how many do you think would have preferred Jameis over Marcus? And I said probably like 18 to 14 in favor of Jameis, maybe 20
oh,
to 12.
I would go 31 or 32.
You would go much higher?
Yes.
Okay.
I would say it was unequivocal Jameis Winston was the number one pick.
And then he said, well, how would you change that now based on performances and based off the field issues? And he said Jameis hasn't spoken about his incident all camp
long. Talked about
long.
Socks yesterday.
Yeah, he did.
Dude is so tone deaf.
And I said it would probably be like 25-7 in favor of Marcus. I think it would be a big flip. Do you agree with that?
I think there would be a flip, yes. In my heart, I want to believe that everyone would take Marcus because of who he is. It's not about on-field talent. I still think Jameis Winston is a better on-field talent than Marcus Mariota, and that is where coaches' egos come in, because coaches always think, oh, I can solve this. I can get him to mature. I can control him. I can fix him. Coaches always think that they have the answer. And so I think there's plenty of coaches that would probably look at the raw in-pocket talent of Jameis Winston and say, I'd rather have that, and then I trust myself to fix the off-the-field stuff. What we're learning about Jameis Winston is that you may not be able to fix this sort of little kid that's inside of him that doesn't understand reality, and that it's led to some really, really awful, awful decision-making on his part. And a rational human being would say, 100% of the time, I'd rather have Marcus because of who Marcus is off the field. But 25-7, I think, is a good number. But I think you're fooling yourself if you think anybody would have taken, at the time, Marcus over Jameis.
You think it was almost unanimous?
I think it was a clear-cut 32 out of 32.
See, like, I wonder, how many teams questioned Jameis' character, though. That if they looked at, because clearly you could look at the time and say, okay, well, Marcus, he's a quiet kid. He's a leader. And then there were some questions with Jameis. So I wonder if teams took that into account. I don't necessarily disagree with you, Braden, but I just wonder how many teams actually thought about that.
The questions about football for Marcus far outweighed the questions off the field about Jameis. The questions about Marcus Mariota coming out of college were very loud. It was, never played under center, never called a play in the huddle, looked to the sideline, it was a check with me offense, ran a zone read spread, he's injured all the time. Like, all these, the football people, not, this wasn't a Ryan Leaf, Peyton Manning thing where the league was split. This was Jameis Winston all the way. The questions were certainly there off the field, but this, like, you're just lying to yourself if you think people were like, oh, Marcus Mariota's a better football player than Jameis Winston. Mm-hmm. Nobody thought that. This was a Heisman Trophy winning, record-setting national champion. And then I guess I need to say Heisman Trophy winning for Marcus Mariota as well. Just totally different scheme, offense, talent level. Like I think it would all switch now, though. I think you're right.
Okay, coming up next, speaking of Florida State, former Florida State players, obviously we know Jameis Winston was a Florida State Seminole. So was Jalen Ramsey. A very interesting question. Is he good for football? Stay there. It's Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game, and streaming on the Game Nashville app. Welcome back into Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Nick Hale, Braden Gall, Chase McCabe with you, broadcasting live from St. Thomas Sports Park. Titans camp, day two, as the Titans and Bucks will be back on the field together again this morning, and then, of course, Saturday evening for preseason game number two. You got to love the preseason, right? Because sometimes people talk. And Jalen Ramsey continues to be a ever-growing, ever-evolving, polarizing figure. I put a question out yesterday on whether or not, a poll question, whether or not Jalen Ramsey needs to be humbled. And it was almost 55-45. Some people saying yes, other people saying no. I love him. He backs it up. And this all stems from the conversation we had late in the 9 o'clock hour yesterday on the show. Jalen Ramsey had a bunch of comments in GQ magazine, and he was breaking down and giving his honest, unfiltered opinion on opposing quarterbacks. He gave a lot of praise to Marcus Mariota, obviously the guys like Rodgers and Brady, and he was critical of other quarterbacks, including rookie Josh Allen, basically saying he is trash, unquote. So let's get into this on whether or not he is good for the game.
So I don't think it's good for Jacksonville or for Jalen Ramsey to be like – reading every single thing a media member says on Twitter. I just don't think that's healthy for a player. Like, who cares, right? Like, it's not productive for you or your team. Because if you live your life, as Chase has already said today, if you live your life on Twitter and based on what Twitter says about you or about things that you think or don't think, you're going to, like, spin yourself off the planet because it's just not a healthy thing to do. We're all just on each other's front porches on Twitter and screaming at each other. So I don't think that's healthy for Jalen Ramsey. I don't think that's good. If I was a Jacksonville Jaguars fan, I'd be like, dude, just leave Twitter alone. Who cares? But do I personally enjoy watching Jalen Ramsey play the game? And do I think he's good for the sport, good for the game? Is he an interesting person that makes for fun entertainment? Oh, heck yeah. Oh, heck yeah. So I'm all for the fact I'm not going to rip the guy for coming out and saying all these things. I don't necessarily agree with him that he thinks Ben Roethlisberger is, quote, decent at best. Like, I think Ben Roethlisberger's better than that.
Probably a Hall of Famer.
But you know who has to deal with that? Not me. Mm-hmm. Jalen Ramsey does when Antonio Brown torches him for 14 catches. Mm-hmm. Or not when he dominates Antonio Brown. Who knows? But it's on him. So what I don't mind is he's going to bring it on himself. So if I'm a Jacksonville fan, I don't necessarily like it because I don't want people – because guess what? Guess who he's going against in week one? Odell. Right, so like you don't think he's going to have something to say about that? He's already talked a little bit about Odell Beckham. They're going to have that's going to be a battle in week one. So what I think is interesting is, you know, if you're going to say Joe Flacco sucks and that Josh Allen is trash, well, you're the one who's going to have to deal with that if you can't back it up. He's generally backed it up, so I don't, you know, I love that he's got all these opinions and that he's brash and like I enjoy it. If I'm a Jacksonville fan, I want him to tone it down a little bit. But as a football fan, I think it's good for the game. It's entertainment. He's fun. He's an exciting, outlandish player. I like getting all these opinions because I don't have to deal with the repercussions.
There's a part of me that says I appreciate the honesty because we always want athletes, especially from the media perspective, us doing this job that we do, we want players to say something. We want them to be honest. But there's also a part of me that says it's kind of a classless move to take some shots at some of these players. Like, you don't think Josh Allen's going to be that good. I don't think he's going to be that good either. But to say he's trash before he actually gets a chance to either prove one way or the other. But the one thing I definitively know about this is sports needs villains. And if Jalen Ramsey wants to take on that villain role, especially in the AFC South, in a division where we, the Titans, play the Jaguars twice a year, I love it because now it gives me more incentive and more motivation. Like, I would love to have Ramsey on the Titans, but you know what? Come Sunday when they play each other twice, I hope Corey Davis barbecues him.
No, I think you're right about the villain angle. I think you got to have somebody that people like to hate. And the key is, do you find a personality that relishes that role, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and Jalen Ramsey clearly relishes that role. It's sort of like Ryan Kessler. like Corey Perry and Ryan Kessler for the Anaheim Ducks, like, they love the fact that they're those guys. Mm-hmm. Like, they don't care. We hate them as Predators fans, and most people in the NHL hate them. But that's the case in every sport. Like Dennis Rodman loved being Dennis Rodman, right?
Well,
like,
you're a Knicks fan. Go back to your days with Reggie Miller. He loved being the enemy.
And he wasn't really, like,
it was more playful.
He wasn't out there, like, you know, like, I'm with you on the Josh Allen comment. Frankly, that's the one. If I'm again, all of this is from a Jacksonville Jaguars fan, because personally, I'm not, like, offended by a player having an opinion on other players. Now, he has no idea if Josh Allen's really good or bad. Just like, no, like, we're all guessing because he's never played a game. But he's played against some of these guys. So I don't have a problem with him having an opinion on somebody he's faced. And so I think I think it's fun that we get the honesty from him. You're right. We're a little two-faced sometimes as fans and in the media where we say, hey, we want honesty, we want honesty, we want honesty, and then we criticize you for being honest. A lot of times it's with coaches. I think players can get away with it more because they are the star. They're the entertainer. The coach is like, well, if you don't win 6 games, you're getting fired. If you don't win 9 games, you're getting fired. Like, there's more pressure there, whereas with a defensive back, it's like, yeah, Odell Beckham, you know, go out and do some stupid, crazy nonsense and act like a silly fool because we're going to love it because entertain me. I want to be entertained. So if this was Malcolm, like, here's what I like. Malcolm Butler hasn't said a single word about the Super Bowl. That's good for Titans. That's good for the Titans, good for Malcolm Butler, good for this team. Do I wish Jalen Ramsey was in Nashville from a talent perspective and from a covering standpoint? Yeah, it'd be way more fun. I don't know if it would be as good for the team. Like, if I'm a Jags fan, I'm kind of like, I don't know if you should care that much about what a reporter says about you on Twitter. You know, calling out a quarterback who's a rookie, is that really a tasteful move? Probably not. Could there be a negative impact on my team because people are more fired up to face you from a motivational standpoint every week? Maybe. But personally, in the media, like, who cares? I think it's great. I think it's good for football. I think he's an entertaining personality. I mean, A.J. Green's like the most mild-mannered, nicest dude in the world, and you got A.J. Green to get in a fight. Like, that's, you know, it's entertaining, but it sucked for Cincinnati and Jacksonville because they both lost great players, so. And fantasy teams, probably.
And speaking of corners, how close do you think Adoree Jackson can get to when it comes to comparing him to Jalen Ramsey?
Nothing.
Is it literally night and day?
Well,
or can he close the gap from one of the better corners in the league perspective?
I think Adoree Jackson could be one of the better corners in the league. I mean, he was a five-star recruit coming out of high school, started right away, played two ways. I mean, an extraordinary athlete. Like, there's no way he's not an extraordinary athlete, but you have to be when you're that size. Like, he needs to – the thing about Jalen Ramsey, he's a monster. Like, I stood next to him – like, when I talked to him and when he was at Brentwood Academy, like, I'm not a small guy. Like, I'm about 6'1", like 215, and he, as a high school player – with zero body fat, his shoulders, you could just tell he was going to put on weight. Like, when you're a recruiting analyst and you look at these guys and you see these broad, huge shoulders but, like, still pretty thin guys, Jalen Ramsey looked like he could have added 20 pounds and still been just as athletic and explosive. Jalen Ramsey is a freak from a size standpoint. I mean, we're talking long arms, rangy. He is the perfect talent and skill set for a cover corner. Adoree has to overcome a lot of those things. So, in a general sense, I think Adoree can close the gap and be one of the better NFL corners. You know, maybe top 20. I don't know. Can he ever be top 5, top 10? Probably not, because you need to have certain things that he doesn't have: height, range, but his competitive fire. He's never out of position. I mean, he's a good. He's a really good player. I don't think he can ever be considered the Darrell Revis category or Jalen Ramsey category, because those guys are also 6'1", 215, 210. You know, 200 pounds, whatever, and they're just as athletic as Adoree.
Coming up next, Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers are looking up at Marcus Mariota in one statistical measure. Stay there. It's Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back into Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are broadcasting live from Titans Camp, St. Thomas Sports Park. Nick Braden and Chase DeMace out sick this morning. Coming up an hour from now, the Titans' best linebacker in coverage, Jayon Brown, will join us. A lot to get to this morning, including the Ronald Acuna stuff from last night, which we will get to. So if you're a baseball guy, hang tight. We're getting to that. Don't go anywhere. But I gave you a little nugget, a little tease going to that last break. An area where Marcus Mariota is actually better than Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers.
Now, do tell, sir.
Sometimes you just got to reach, and this is a little bit of a reach, but it continues on with the Jalen Ramsey conversation. And we know yesterday that Jalen said, look, Tom Brady's great. Aaron Rodgers is great. And he gave a lot of love to Marcus Mariota. And then NFL Research on Twitter.
He said Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady does not suck.
Yeah, you know what?
Which is one of my favorite terms of all time.
So any issue with that? I mean, shouldn't he have
No. Like, I say that all the time when I'm being sarcastic about something that's awesome. Like, Jason Isbell, yeah, doesn't suck. But I think Jason Isbell is the greatest songwriter of our generation.
Okay.
So.
Here's the number. Marcus Mariota lifetime career passer rating, and this is according to NFL Research on Twitter, against Jalen Ramsey in coverage is an 81. Now, you would think, a passer rating of 81 is probably a little bit below average in the league.
Yeah, it's his passer rating, I believe, for his career, I want to say, is like 88 maybe.
Okay.
For his career, so a little below average for Marcus, I believe.
And this is obviously going up against a guy like Jalen Ramsey. Now, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, they come in below Marcus. Tom Brady with a passer rating of 68.8, and your boy Aaron Rodgers, probably the best quarterback in the league right now, a 78.5.
And is this like one game against Green Bay, one game against New England, maybe two?
This is
games. Like, I need to know the games. And this is
Jalen Ramsey in coverage against quarterbacks mentioned positively in the GQ article for a career, including the playoffs.
Right. We would have to check Jalen Ramsey's game log to know, because that's the problem. It's like, what quarterback rating doesn't mean much when you have like 500 games played. It certainly doesn't mean much when you've had one.
Now,
or two, and frankly, the the Patriots beat Jacksonville, of course, in the postseason, so yeah. We know that was one.
But what do you make of this list, though? Because the guys that he gave praise to were Rodgers, Carr, Watson, Stafford, Rivers, Russell Wilson, Brady, Mariota, Tyrod Taylor, and Nick Foles. And then the guys that Jalen Ramsey had unpleasant comments about, Andrew Luck, Ben Roethlisberger, Jared Goff, Jimmy G, and Joe Flacco.
He's played Pittsburgh one time, and that was the playoff game when they won 30-9. They played him twice,
mm-hmm.
and they killed him in the playoff game, 45-40. They put a boatload of points on him, but they also gave up 42 points. That was the big comeback from Pittsburgh. And then they played him in the regular season one time during his career, and it looks like they beat him 30-9 that year. So, like, it's sort of just dictated by the one game they've played. Like, Garoppolo torched them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Garoppolo torched him. They scored 44 points on the best defense in the NFL last year. That's the only time they've played.
Right.
They've played Marcus. He's played Marcus four times.
Okay.
So, like, at least there's a body of work there against Marcus. So I don't. My problem with this conversation is I just don't think it means anything. I like his personal analysis of the quarterbacks. That matters to me because he's a player and he can say, you know, playing against this guy is more difficult. He looks me off, you know, the right way, or he throws the ball in the right position. He's always putting the ball into a small window. Like, he can talk about the game in a more vague sense. I don't think quarterback rating means anything to me when it comes to how well you did or didn't play against Jalen Ramsey. Like, that doesn't matter to me. Way to go, Marcus, but you're not better than Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers.
Correct.
Earth-shattering.
What do you make of his comments about another quarterback in this division, because he goes on to say, obviously we know he loves Marcus, he thinks Marcus is a really good quarterback, he's also high on Deshaun Watson, who thinks he'll be a league MVP in a couple of years, but then he takes a shot at Andrew Luck, who many would say might be the greatest quarterback prospect of all time, quote, don't really think he's that good.
Well, and he's played against Indianapolis four times, but I don't know how many of those, I'm assuming two of them last year, no Andrew Luck. Andrew Luck has a 137 passer rating against Jalen Ramsey and the Jaguars. So the guy's got a ton of – I mean, Luck was very good in either the one or the two games he played. I think it might have only just been the one that he played against Jalen Ramsey. So, listen, when Andrew Luck's healthy, I don't need to defend Andrew Luck's ability. Like, when he's healthy, he's great. We all know it. When he's not healthy, he's like everybody else who's not healthy. He's not on the field. So, again, these quarterback rating things don't matter to me at all. What matters to me is sort of his analysis and that he's doing it in the first place. Like, I enjoy that part of it.
Okay. Chase McCabe, we're going to get an update in just a moment on a few of the mentions that are coming in on Twitter with our captions for the Jay-Z and Beyonce tickets. So stay tuned for that. If you want to win those, you got to tweet us.
It's a legit prize, man.
It really is. At Vanderbilt Stadium. Are you surprised Vandy's hosting an act like that?
No, it's awesome. So U2, when U2 came, and this is something you'll kind of learn as you've been here long enough, the U2 360 tour, when they played at Vanderbilt Stadium, was one of – I'm not a huge U2 guy, but I wanted to check them off the bucket list sort of.
Mm-hmm.
So a buddy of mine went and it was one of the biggest stages and coolest things I've ever seen. And I'm not – like, I like U2. I don't love them. They're not, like, one of my favorite bands or whatever. But, man, that was a killer show at Vanderbilt. So they might actually put on better concerts than football games at Vanderbilt. And the new soccer stadium is going to fill that role, too, because it'll be right around 30,000. Vanderbilt Stadium with the ground seats is probably closer to 50. So it's sort of smaller than Titan Stadium, but much bigger than Bridgestone.
And speaking of soccer, did you see that Austin, Texas is getting an MLS franchise as well now?
There you go.
News coming out yesterday, so.
It's big time.
Expansion. ESPN 94.9 Game 2, speaking of soccer, is the official English radio home of the Nashville Soccer Club. Listen in Saturday as Nashville SC hits the road to take on Louisville City FC. Pregame begins at 6:15 with kickoff at 6:30 only on ESPN 94.9 Game 2. It's all powered by your Middle Tennessee Toyota dealers and Great Clips. All right, Chase McCabe, let's get an update. How are the captions looking so far for our Jay-Z and Beyonce tickets?
They're looking great. So if you go to 1025_MD, we'll give you a chance to win those tickets. We have a lovely picture of Nick Cale and Braden Gall from camp yesterday. I believe this was during the Pat O'Hara interview. Just so enthralled. Calf says, when you're just ready to be home and your flight gets delayed, and has a gif of Stewie Griffin, who is upset.
Calf also gave us a spoiler alert here.
He did.
Now, what's the rules on a movie that's like two decades old?
Yeah, that's on you at that point. If you haven't seen it and don't know, then he says, when you realize Bruce Willis was dead in the end of The Sixth Sense. Jason says,
yeah, if you haven't seen Sixth Sense at this point, like, it's on you.
Yeah.
Jason says, when it's 2018 and Blues fans are still using the Dyson Super Bowl GIF.
Probably striking a nerve there.
John says, when the new guy at Subway burns your bread in the oven. And Jared says, who is Becky with the good hair?
I like that one.
Nice.
I like that one.
And I don't really understand Paul's.
I like that one.
Paul says, you go to school, nothing happens. You miss one day and six fights. Tupac came back. School had a blackout, and Beyonce and Jay-Z performed in the cafeteria.
Yeah, like you're upset that like right. You go to school all the time, and the one day you're not there, all the cool stuff happens.
Right. So there you go.
What's not to get?
All right, when we come back, I had a thought yesterday, because I have a lot of time on my hands, and I do a lot of thinking. Can you envision a plausible scenario where the Titans win a title before the Predators? You might think that's crazy, but stick around. We'll try to explain. It's coming up next on Morning Drive. Nick, Braden, and Chase, we are live from Titans camp on ESPN 102.5 The Game and streaming on the Game Nashville app.